The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
So Mayor Peduto and Senator Pat Toomey, they agree that felons and the mentally ill should not have access to guns, and that bipartisan support for so-called red flag legislation is mounting. The pair, Senator Toomey and Mayor Peduto, met for about 40 minutes today in Pat Toomey's Washington office. So the mayor is making the rounds in Washington, D.C. Good. How about that?
Well, for every mayor who's experienced gun violence, there's a concern,
yeah,
right?
Of course, yeah.
I want to make sure, though, you know, what was suffered at the Tree of Life Synagogue is something I can't even imagine. I wasn't there. No one who was killed was a close friend. And so I'm not in the inner circle of that. I'm just one of, you know, millions of Pittsburghers who mourned.
From the outside.
But when we talk about gun violence, don't you think it's also incumbent upon us to talk about not just, you know, gunmen who are unglued and are committing violence? What about just regular gun violence that happens in cities?
Day to day.
Right. I mean,
garden variety.
Don't you feel like that should be part of the conversation?
Of course. But, you know, it's one small step at a time.
Okay.
Right? Don't you think?
Yeah.
People are just trying to find something positive.
I mean, I appreciate that. I've said before, whatever solution anyone can come up with, they should bring it to the table and we should talk about it.
Right.
So I'm not pushing anybody aside. There's no point of view I don't want to hear as we all try to figure out how we can stop this.
Right. So now things are heating up, so to speak, because Congress is back in session. So, you know, they took the summer off, of course, and how many shootings there have been since summertime.
Right.
So now the Democrats are stepping forward and saying, hey, let's talk about this. We've got some bills.
Okay, so how do you feel about red flag laws? I'm of two minds.
Tell me.
Okay, so mind number one me is that it's an excellent first step. It's a way that we can separate people who have mental illness from weapons. And so those who would do violence to someone because of a mental disorder they have,
right,
that we could stop that before it happens. Okay, so I like that, right? So
in theory.
Mind two is, aren't you uncomfortable with any type of list that puts a person on it,
right,
without them having a right to defend themselves?
Yes, exactly. That's 100% correct. I feel the exact same way. Because you do want a heads up, but then what if it was you or your husband or your daughter or whomever?
And what if we're talking about guns, but what if we're talking about something else?
Yeah.
What if we're talking about access to a school or access to
a job?
Or something like that. All of a sudden, you can't get that job because aren't you on that list?
Right.
I mean, that sounds a lot like Germany in 1939.
Yeah, it does. It's like Big Brother 1984 to, you know, here we are in 21st century America. I agree.
So what do you think? I mean, I guess what I'm saying is let's pray for wisdom that we come up with solutions that don't do more harm.
Right. But, you know, that's an excellent point. But wisdom in politics often do not intersect, do they? This is going to be a push along party lines. That's how it is. I don't believe that anyone's going to break ranks and do what's for the best of the
country. Okay, so then we are poorer for having these people as our leaders. If no one's going to break rank with party, if party is going to be the thing that determines how we vote on something as crucial as this, then these people shouldn't have the positions they have. I mean, this is a day when we need to step beyond Republican or Democrat, and we need to come together and decide how we solve this. I mean, Lindsey Graham is the one who's championing red flag laws. He's a Republican.
Yep.
So he has, in essence, broken rank. I don't know if I agree with him on that, but he certainly is not following what would be consistent with the Republican Party line. So Three cheers for him for at least being an independent thinker.
I believe three cheers for at least some conversation about this, that there would be some motion forward, that parties would get together. That's a tiny first step. Again, a tiny first step. But I don't have a whole lot of confidence this is going to achieve anything of worth or value. I really don't. Not to be Debbie Downer.
Speaking of achieving worth or value, we're going to be talking to Greg Clugston in just a little bit because John Bolton's out of a job.
Yes, he is. Now, there's
in spite of his excellent eyeglasses and always, you know, tip-top demeanor as far as clothing and
right, I would say brother of Mr. Kangaroo,
Captain Kangaroo.
Mr. Kangaroo. Well, I had a lot of respect for Captain Kangaroo.
Mr.'s local, right? I mean, he didn't get the national syndication the captain did.
Mr. Kangaroo is my next door neighbor. When I was delivering papers, he owes me $1.15.
Hey, but good news: Frank O'Harris and George Washington are back at the airport.
Did you miss him?
Yes.
Really?
I absolutely miss them. When I flew out of Pittsburgh and back both times going up and down the escalator, I thought,
where's Franco?
That's sad.
Yeah, believe me.
Do they look different?
We could have used them, right?
I mean, are they bigger? Are they different than they were before they went away?
Well, the word is from the Trib that they really are not different. They were just, you know, cleaned and put back in place because they were working in that, you know, that mezzanine area. You know where that is?
Right. It's right in the escalator.
Yeah. This is in today's Pittsburgh Tribune Review. And who's the, let me see, I'm sorry, the reporter here is, Joanna Hardop. She says that after how long of an absence? 12 months they've been gone?
I don't feel like it's been that long. Okay.
The statues were taken to the Heinz History Center. And
where Andy Masick himself did all the applications necessary.
I don't think that's true.
Okay.
Taken to the Heinz History Center, they were restored, cleaned, and now they're back, back on Sunday.
Okay, so they're not there yet?
No, they've already been back.
Oh, great. They've been back since Sunday. Yeah. I feel much better. I think I'm going to sleep tonight with a sense of satisfaction.
They are there. Well,
yeah. What, it didn't bother you? Or no. You didn't fly? You flew during that time. Or no, maybe you didn't fly during that time.
Yeah, I flew during that time.
You didn't miss Franco at all? Like coming down the escalator? Looking.
I always kind of feel bad that they're in that spot.
I have often thought that as well.
Right?
Actually, now that you bring it up, I have thought there's got to be a better way, a better place to put them.
Right.
That would give them a little more honor.
It's kind of like a lamp that someone gave you and you just don't quite know where to put it.
Yeah. Right.
And two iconic figures.
Now, the good thing is everybody sees them there.
Right.
So that's a plus. But I feel like lighting more of a pedestal, something that would give them,
I guess,
slightly more cred.
Although you can't miss them where they are, right? And you feel like you're home whenever you see them. Right?
I just feel like maybe there needs to be a little bit of a different designation mm-hmm. for them. Maybe they should be lifted up mm-hmm. a little.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Remember we met Franco?
Yeah. Oh, he's such a good guy.
He's a good guy, yeah. It was a Sunday, and like we were all of a sudden I get a phone call, and we're like, we're going down to the, where do we go?
The Central Blood Bank. Invited us to come down and do a media thing with Franco.
Yeah.
And we said yes.
I was at home with a pair of white socks on.
And then you came there with a pair of white socks on.
We got a photo of us and Franco.
We do.
I look like the ultimate nerd.
Should I post that?
Sure, why not?
I'll try to find it.
Okay, fine. All right, take a break.
It's you with the pierogi.
It's right. Yeah.
No, not the kind you're eating, just the kind that runs around.
I mean, you got to be careful. Fashion on call. All of a sudden, like, you know, you're called into the mix. Going to the White House, Greg Clugston, SRN News, with us next.
Are you getting close to retirement? Have you experienced a nice bump in your portfolio? Well, we know that the market goes up, and unfortunately, we also know it goes down. Don't risk your retirement to market whims. Learn how you can lock in your gains today by spending time with the team at Marley Financial. Todd Marley and the experts at Marley can help you design a retirement plan that's bulletproof against the market's ups and downs. The team at Marley Financial uses a multitude of different techniques to make sure you have a retirement that is tax-friendly, stable, and worry-free. Oh, and speaking of taxes, did you know that Marley Financial can handle them too? With all the changes in the tax laws, be sure you're taking advantage of the best possible deduction and make sure you know what adjustments to make for your overall financial picture going forward. Call today for a no-obligation consultation to see just how, for 25 years, the clients at Marley Financial have never had a retirement plan fail. Give them a call today, 724-884-1496, or visit them online, marleyfg.com.
101.5 WORD.
Absolutely huge hurricane.
Destructive wind.
Horrendous damage.
Now that the storm has passed, the people of the Bahamas are relying on God's people, us, to help them make it to tomorrow.
One of the strongest hurricanes.
Families devastated by Monster Storm Dorian need Word FM listeners to step into their lives with life-saving emergency relief.
Search and rescue.
Your generous gift will provide a family who has lost everything desperately needed emergency supplies. You can make a difference, one family at a time. Please call 855-828-HOPE or go to wordfm.com.
I'm not an actor. I was not compensated in any way for this.
Byron bought a timeshare. After 12 years of endless fees and broken promises, he wanted out.
I saw an ad about a company that talked about being able to get you out of your contract, and they would sell your timeshare. They ripped me off. I found out later on that the market for timeshares is non-existent.
So he turned to Wesley Financial Group.
They had a very good Better Business Bureau rating, and after reading all the testimonials, I felt like I wanted to give them a chance.
Wesley Financial Group got Byron out of his timeshare contract legally.
If you are like me and you would like to get out of this contract, I strongly urge you to get a hold of Wesley Financial Group. They are honest and good people, and I just want to thank them from the bottom of my heart.
For your free information kit, call 800-349-8877. 800-349-8877. Again, 800-349-8877.
Hi, I'm John Henney from Henney Jewelers. Since 1887, my family has helped people celebrate the most memorable moments in their lives. We are rooted in faith and commit to doing the right thing again and again. We believe in the covenant of marriage and use our To Have and To Hold program to encourage couples as they prepare to spend the rest of their lives together. Please stop into our Shadyside store to learn more or visit HenneyJewelers.com. Henney Jewelers, your jewelers for life.
SRN News White House correspondent Greg Clugston is back with us from the White House. Hey, Greg, how are things? It's been a very slow summer, not for you and I and Kath and Mike, but for the members of Congress. But they're back, aren't they?
They're back in town. Hi, John and Kathy. And today kind of heated up all of a sudden because we had an abrupt dismissal of a top White House official this morning. Mm.
Right. So John Bolton was informed that his services were no longer needed. Now, I understand that he offered to resign last night, but the president said, no, let's just talk about it in the morning.
Yeah, there's a little disagreement, a public disagreement between Bolton and the White House as to whether or not the president asked for Bolton's resignation or if Bolton offered the resignation. Hmm. The president maintains that he decided last night that he wanted the resignation, essentially, effectively firing his national security advisor. But Bolton today is tweeting and talking to reporters and otherwise saying, no, this was my decision. I submitted the resignation. Mm. I offered it last night, he said, and he submitted it this morning. The bottom line is he's no longer the national security advisor.
Right. So this is the third national security advisor in 3 years, right?
It is, not including an acting temporary security advisor who was on the job for like 10 days between number one and number two. But mm-hmm. yes, in terms of full-time, in-place national security advisors, the president is looking for number four, and he said that he would probably make that announcement on a replacement sometime next week.
Greg, does this have this disagreement that's come to a head, does it have any tendrils to what happened with the Taliban and the inviting and disinviting?
Yeah, it looks as if that may be part of it. Now, let's be clear, too, that the views, the foreign policy views of John Bolton have been well known. He's worked in previous Republican administrations. He has been a TV commentator, a very public official, and a very outspoken person who is, you know, not a dove, but a hawk when it comes to the potential for war and conflict with other countries. And that was seen as something of a mismatch when President Trump had him come on staff, at least according to, you know, what Trump's foreign policy stated goals were. So there may have been a number of issues in which there were disagreements. In fact, the president today on Twitter said that they did agree and he didn't like his suggestions on a number of issues. But John, this idea of having talks at Camp David on the week of the anniversary of the 9/11 attack,
that's such a terrible idea.
With the Taliban,
yeah.
You know, obvious enemies of the United States and a lot of our allies in the West. Apparently, Bolton spoke up and told the president not a good idea, and now he's out.
So it is a bad idea from every perspective. You don't have to be, be from a red state or a blue state to just think it's horrible timing. And I guess my question is, you said Bolton is a known commodity. In that way, I think he established some sense of credibility for the president when it comes to national security issues. Where does Trump go from here?
Yeah, and just one point on that before looking ahead, Kathy, is that you're right. Having someone like Bolton, who had his well-known views and positions staked out and was not afraid to share those views, in many ways, even if there are disagreements between him and the president privately on foreign policy, that's what any president really truly should want in terms of having some internal discussion, some back and forth, some contrasting views to get a full picture of what the options are. But when it comes to what the public demonstration should be in terms of articulating those, there shouldn't be any daylight between, top officials and the president. But apparently Bolton, he didn't see it that way, and he needed to speak up the way he did. In terms of going forward, it's really going to be curious, Kathy, because Mike Pompeo is the Secretary of State, and he is widely viewed as really the key power player right now when it comes to foreign policy. Mm-hmm. And so if the president, it's quite likely the president could select someone who's much more in line with someone like Mike Pompeo in terms of his approach to foreign policy, which would be a shift away from where John Bolton stood on a lot of these issues. Hmm.
This is also a personality issue, wasn't it? That the two men really didn't see eye to eye. And of course, when you're not on board with the president personally, that affects many other things.
Sure, that's right. Now, any sitting president has the prerogative to have the national security staff in place that he wants. And so in terms of whether or not the president was right or wrong in making this announcement, this decision, he has the right to make those changes. It's, it's how he goes about it. It's what precipitated it, and it's where he's going forward in terms of foreign policy. And it comes at a time when there are a lot of big foreign policy challenges on the plate for this White House and for this administration, whether you're talking Iran or Afghanistan or ongoing efforts to denuclearize in the North Korean Peninsula. So there's a lot going on, obviously.
Greg Clugston with us, SRN News White House correspondent. It also makes me wonder, Greg, just about, the tendency of powerful leaders, of course, is to surround yourself with people that agree with you. And the wisest leaders have proven that they surround themselves with people that don't necessarily agree with them, because you need somebody who's going to tell you the truth, especially when you're in a position of great power like the president is. So I wonder, when getting rid of someone like Bolton, or Bolton deciding to disengage, however it went, what does that mean for the president? I mean, are there people on his inner circle who are willing to be the guy who stands up and says, no, I don't think so?
Well, if there are, there probably are fewer of them at this stage of the Trump presidency than perhaps there were at the beginning. There have been a lot of high-profile departures and a lot of high-ranking turnover in this administration. That's no secret. And there were a lot of military generals, for example. Remember, early on, the president was boasting about he loved having generals on his staff, on his cabinet. And those are some of the key people who did disagree with the president on a lot of issues, and they are no longer a part of this administration. So it looks as if you have strong views on issues that do counter to what the president's thinking is, you may not have a long shelf life in his administration.
I see. From the White House, Greg Clugston is with us. Greg, let's switch gears and look at North Carolina. The president was in North Carolina last night for a rally. There is a special election today. Talk about how those two things are connected.
Yeah, this is an open House seat for the House of Representatives, so it's a special election. The president is on board behind, obviously, the Republican candidate, who is Dan Bishop. He's up against the Democrat Dan McCready. And it's always interesting when you have a special election like this, essentially 1 year before the general election for the presidency. And, of course, coming after what happened in the midterms with Democrats regaining the House control from Republicans, a lot of eyes are going to be on this race and the results later tonight to see whether or not in a solidly Republican district in North Carolina that President Trump won easily, double digits in 2016, what kind of shift, if there is any, in terms of selecting a new House member from this race. So the president was there last night in Fayetteville. He held a rally and obviously urging North Carolina residents to vote Republican on this and warning that there could be a lot of lot of backtracking on Trump administration policies if there's further erosion when it comes to Republicans in Congress.
You know, that's a little, it's a little depressing to me, Greg, only when I look at a local race like that and think that it's still somehow connected to the president. I wish not everything had to be a referendum on the president. I mean, I wish it could be Dan versus Dan and the local people in North Carolina decide which Dan they want. It doesn't have to be some precursor to what we're all going to vote for in the presidential election in 2020.
Well, that's a good point, and there certainly are probably any number of voters in North Carolina who are voting it as, you know, Dan versus Dan. Looking at it from the national political perspective, when you have the president of the United States go in, he's been a strong ally and supporter of this Republican candidate, and the president's been very vocal about his support. He does, in effect, make it a race that has national implications.
Yeah, by him being there.
Yes, by being there and by tweeting his support and sort of injecting himself in there.
Right.
So that does happen, maybe to the chagrin of, local residents who do want it to remain a local or a state issue. What's interesting is before the president left to head to the rally last night, he told reporters here at the White House as he was leaving that he doesn't view it as a referendum, meaning he was sort of downplaying the implication that if the Republican loses in today's special election, that shouldn't mean anything in terms of support for Trump in 2020. So the president was sort of trying to have it both ways.
I see. Well, Greg, tomorrow is the 18th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, New York, Washington, D.C., Pennsylvania. What's on store in the nation's capital?
Well, as we often do on this solemn occasion, the president is going to be making a couple of observances, one here at the White House at about 8:40 or 8:45 in the morning, and of course that is lining up with the time of the first hijacked airliner hitting one of the towers at the World Trade Center in New York in 2001. And then the president, after that, is going to drive over to the Pentagon for a commemorative ceremony and remarks there as well. Of course, the Pentagon being one of the other targets 18 years ago. And it's just remarkable, to think 18 years ago, at this time, 18 years ago, the country was in shock, and it was obviously a terrible attack. Nearly 3,000 people had lost their lives in those attacks, and so it will be another solemn a commemoration tomorrow by the president and other members of the federal government and Congress as well.
Right. And I'm sure it has extra, it impacts all of us for sure, because we're all Americans, but a special impact to the president because it happened in his hometown?
Sure. Yeah. He obviously New York City. So he knew firsthand, as a resident there, the pain and what went on there. And of course, having those towers collapse and the chaos and then the cleanup and all the rest. So yeah, he has a connection from New York, obviously being there. And I was reminded of where I was 18 years ago.
Yes.
The day, actually, 18 years ago today, I was in the travel in-town travel pool with George W. Bush. And what makes it interesting the day before 9/11 is because the president at the time, George W. Bush, he left on a helicopter from outside the Pentagon to go on that trip down to Florida.
To Florida, right.
Right. And the reason why he left from the Pentagon is because the South Lawn was set up for the Congressional Barbecue Picnic, which was scheduled for the next evening, 9/11.
Wow.
And so he left from the Pentagon, and the helipad where he lifted from and where we were standing nearby was on the very side of the Pentagon that was struck by the hijacked airliner the next morning. So all these memories always come flashing back on anniversaries like this.
Yes. So the morning of September 11th, where were you?
I was on the way to the newsroom, the SRN newsroom here in Washington. I did not stop by the White House that morning on the way to the office where the newsroom is located, because the president was in Florida, and I had a staff meeting to attend. And when I walked in through the doors of the newsroom, I walked in moments after the second airliner had struck. And I knew immediately something was up, because members of my colleagues in the news team were standing in front of the televisions, And they're not usually standing up watching the TV. They're usually at their workstation. So immediately I knew something was up.
Well, certainly a day that changed all of our lives forever. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
Well, Greg, hey, thanks an awful lot. We always appreciate you checking in with us to give us the happenings in and around Washington, D.C.
Always my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure. Greg Clugston, SRN News White House correspondent. More Greg, wordfm.com.
If you're drowning in IRS debt and can't afford to pay, then you need to take advantage of special IRS tax programs that are available and free yourself from IRS collection efforts once and for all. Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing throughout the country, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle delinquent tax problems. An open phone line has been established by Community Tax for consumers to call and see if they qualify. Take down this number or store it in your cell phone, but call the Community Tax Helpline at 800-500-5000. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and cannot afford to pay them back, or even if you have years of unfiled tax returns, there's no need to fear anymore. But you have to call the Community Tax Helpline today at 800-500-5588 for the help that you need. Don't take on the IRS alone. They can attack your wages, savings, pension, home, and even your Social Security check. Call 800-500-5588 for your free consultation and to see if you qualify. That's 800-500-5588.
Looking for a satisfying career helping people with disabilities? Consider Life Steps, who's served Western Pennsylvania since 1923 and offers 100% paid health, dental, and vision premiums for full-time employees. All shifts available. Make a difference and call Life Steps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net. That's lifesteps.net to check out available positions. Life Steps is an equal opportunity employer.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D Waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Belanti and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
I find that patients just want to be heard.
Stock Family Dentistry, where exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care.
That takes time to sit down and listen to what the patient has to say. Listen to their past experiences, because that's all important in how I then present treatment to them, formulate a treatment plan for them, and how we move forward with their treatment at our office.
My mommy is a really good dentist, and she'll take good care of you.
Perry Highway in Wexford at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Get your truly free credit scores and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma today. Download the Credit Karma app now. Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
This is Kathy Emmons. John and I are grateful for the encouragement we have from all of our advertisers, and especially our friends at Grove City College. Thanks to everyone at Grove City for supporting The Ride Home.
Tonight, mostly clear, warm, and humid, a low of 67. For tomorrow, very warm and humid. Sun and clouds and a shower or thunderstorm will be around in the afternoon and again at night. A high tomorrow afternoon of 88 and a low tomorrow night of 69. For Thursday, clouds, occasional sun, and humid with a shower or thunderstorm, a high of 81. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jake Soja.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a house.
I would buy you a house.
You should really double check that it's your money
first
before you spend it.
Right. So there's a couple who, on May 31st, a teller made a mistake and deposited $120,000 in the married couple's account.
Mm-hmm. This is a Montoursville couple, Robert Williams, age 36, and Tiffany Williams, age 35. And so what they did was they just went out and spent $107,000 of it.
What the heck?
And they did it in 2 weeks, which is
two
even more
weeks?
Impressive.
Holy smokes. That must have been a heck of a frenzy.
Finally, BB&T Bank called them on June 20th to, quote-unquote, Address the issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Address the issue. Mm-hmm. State police said the couple bought an SUV, two four-wheelers, a camper, a car trailer. They also said the money was used on bills, car repairs, and cash purchases. Along with that, the couple gave $15,000 to friends in need of money.
That was nice of him. Mm-hmm. Nate Weaver, a Montoursville resident, I'm reading from Breitbart.com, said he was stunned by the couple's alleged actions. Quote, "That is kind of shocking. With all the procedures the banks have set up, checking and double-checking and triple-checking, there's no way anybody gets away with that stuff."
Yep. The bank contacted Tiffany Williams on June 20th and said, "You got to pay back $107,000 in overdraft fees."
That's an understatement.
Overdraft fees. Right. Tiffany said that she and her husband would work out a payment plan.
A payment plan.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Court papers show that those two initial phone calls from the bank, the couple had no contact with bank representatives.
I bet they didn't.
Despite several attempts to reach them by phone.
It's amazing that they didn't leave the country. Right? Reports said Robert Williams told police both he and his wife knew the mislaid money did not belong to them, but we spent it anyway.
Yeah. A reporter showed up at the Williams home, and Robert's father was there. He said, "I got no idea what's going on."
Gosh. Police arrested the couple. They were arraigned in court on Tuesday, and reports said they faced felony theft charges, and they were released on $25,000 bail.
Working out a payment plan.
That is awesome.
Take a break. Come back. We're going to talk in a few minutes about why Christian women are the most persecuted group in the world. That's the truth. Stay tuned for that.
101.5 WORD.
We want to know more about you.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
Go to our website and take our short, anonymous Word FM listener survey. Answer just a few questions.
I've got to concentrate.
A few easy questions to let us know who you are and how you listen to Word FM.
Now the question is, how much cash do you want?
How's $100? Someone who takes the survey will win $100 cash.
Are there any questions?
If not, take the listener survey now at wordfm.com/survey.
When it comes to higher education, it's worth considering a Christian university or college, one that reaffirms students' faith instead of tearing it down. Research shows that students who attend a Christian college can become significantly more committed to their faith, and that's an important investment to make. You care about the type of people who are teaching the classes and the content and perspective of the courses just as much as you do about the strength of the academics. It matters that Christian faith is supported and shared. Find out about many schools at once by attending the free Christian College Fair with representatives of colleges and universities from across North America. Start planning now. Take advantage of the opportunity to meet with representatives from top Christian colleges throughout the country. Learn about financial aid, scholarship opportunities, and more. Take your first step to a Christian college education at Orchard Hill Church in Wexford, Saturday, September 14th from 11 to 1. That's the Pittsburgh Christian College Fair, Saturday, September 14th at Orchard Hill Church in Wexford from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
This AccuWeather Ready Storm Preparedness Tip is brought to you by Duracell. Summer hurricanes and floods often cause long-term power failures, leaving us to beat the heat without air conditioners. Try to equip your home with battery-operated fans to help prevent heat stroke. Placing the fans in open windows will help circulate the air and keep temperatures more comfortable.
When you trust Duracell, there's no such thing as a power outage.
Available at the Home Depot.
Nello is very easy to work with.
Impact Christian Church on building ministry with Nello Construction.
We had become aware of several churches that are using their building during the week as a community center, and we wanted to go that direction. They were able to grasp that, make suggestions that helped us along the way, and they were conscious of our financial constraints and were really good at helping us to see ways that we could do that within our budget, but within the space that we were developing.
Got a vision? Begin the journey at NelloConstruction.com.
The Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber proudly presents the next Innovation Pittsburgh, Thursday evening, September 12th, 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the Doubletree by Hilton and Mars. Join Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald, along with the area's leading public transit experts, on improving the future of public transportation throughout the North Hills. Come for open networking and hors d'oeuvres at 5, followed by presentations and panel discussion. Tickets and details at pghnorthchamber.com.
We live in a brutal world, do we not? Especially for women of faith. We're just reading a story about a woman who set herself on fire.
An Iranian woman.
Right.
Who walked into a soccer stadium.
Good gravy.
Of course, that's illegal in Iran because only men are allowed to watch men play soccer. She walked in. She got arrested. She was in prison. And finally, she just had it.
Protest. She set herself on fire, killed herself. So when you think about with our freedoms here in the United States of America, and thank God, right, for that. Praise God for where we are in the freedom. That is the exception, certainly not the rule. Yeah. And around this world, many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of women daily are subjugated to the worst forms of abuse. From the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, we're happy to talk with Chelsea Patterson Sobolik. She serves as the policy director in the D.C. office. She's written a piece called Why Christian Women Are the Most Persecuted Group in the World. Chelsea, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Chelsea, I appreciated that you explained at the beginning of your article that you're Romanian, but you only lived in Romania for a little bit of time at the start of your life because you were adopted by an American couple. So talk about your history and what that means for how you look at women, young girls who live around the world.
Absolutely. So like you said, I was born in Romania right after communism fell in Romania and in that part of the world. And I was a vulnerable baby. I was thankful and blessed enough to be adopted by an American family and grow up in the United States. But I, from a very personal standpoint, have thought often of what if I wasn't adopted? What if I didn't get that gift?
Sure.
And, you know, my start was very vulnerable. And for many women around the world, their lives are very vulnerable. So on a very small scale, I relate to that, being a woman and then being a Christian. So I really wanted to dig in and look at this issue from a couple of different angles. And what I found was just absolutely heartbreaking.
So in your article, Chelsea, you go through different countries, India, China, and you talk about the despair, the daily routines that women go through. Talk to us. I mean, as I'm reading this, I can't believe what I'm reading. Tell us about India, because, you know, I was talking about India just the other day about their technical prowess. You know, they almost landed a vehicle on the moon. And, you know, it's a big change in the country as far as their skill level and their climb in this world from a third world country to hope to be a first world country. But the way that they treat women certainly is an obstacle in that. But you've dug deep into that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So India and China combined have the two highest marks as far as their persecution of women. But looking at India specifically, the persecution is great. The women who are pregnant, if they find out they're having a girl, three of the most dangerous words in India are "it's a girl," because many times abortion is sex selective, abortion is routine, and then after a woman has a baby, if you know she doesn't do an ultrasound and she finds out it's a girl, many times those baby girls will be left to die. There's a documentary called It's a Girl, and in the opening scenes, they're interviewing this woman who gave birth to a baby, and she talks about how she strangled that little baby because girls are looked down so negatively on in India. And once a girl in India reaches marriageable age, the female that family is required to pay a dowry to the groom, and many times it's exorbitant and the family can't pay, or if they can't pay quite enough. And so there's what's called a dowry death, where many married women, if there's a dispute or if it's not enough or whatnot, are murdered by their families. And even though this is technically illegal in India, it still happens, and authorities will turn a blind eye when these things happen. So that's just looking at India. And again, there's a lot of persecution in China as well.
So then go deeper into this, because I'm sure the population, Christian women in India, is a small percentage, probably a much more less so in China. But talk about Christian women in persecution.
Absolutely. So the numbers globally of Christian persecution are on the rise, you know, anywhere from China to India to places where people are Christian. In the last year, it's actually gone up. Christian persecution has gone up 14%. And there's a number of different reasons for that. But Christian women are doubly persecuted. In many places where there are Christians, in developing countries or predominantly Muslim countries, women are already persecuted because of their gender. And then if you will be persecuted doubly, not only for your gender, but also because of your faith. So Christian women are the world's most persecuted demographic, again, once for their gender and again for their faith in Christ.
So what can we do? You know, we sit here and we talk about this type of persecution, and it's paralyzing because we're moved to incredible sadness over it while also feeling helpless.
It's a great question. The biggest thing we can do is to pray. As I was writing this article, I dug into what the Bible says about women, and women have been persecuted in different ways throughout history, and women were definitely looked down on when Jesus was alive. But Jesus uplifted women, and how he talked about women and how he spoke to women when it was culturally unacceptable for him mm-hmm. to do that. And so if we look at the way Jesus treated women, men and women are created in God's image and are both image bearers and both worthy of dignity and respect and religious freedom and those types of things. We should absolutely hit our knees and pray for our sisters around the world who are being persecuted in the womb after they're born, as they're growing up, as they reach maturity and have faith in Christ. We should pray for them. And number two, there are many, many little girls in India and in China. China does not like baby girls either. Males are the preferred gender for children. So there's many little girls in orphanages. And so I would urge listeners to consider adopting those little girls from India or China or other places where females are discriminated against. So consider adopting them into your family. And if you're not called to adopt, you can financially give towards couples that are called toward that. Donate towards ministries that you know that are doing good work in these countries. The one I talked about in the article, Open Doors, does amazing work, and it's a very solid Christian organization. That's actually how I first heard this statistic. I was sitting in church, and David Curry, the president of Open Doors, had come to speak at our church, and he said, Christian women are the most persecuted group in the world. And I said, what? And so I dug into the research a little bit more and found some of the things we've talked about today. So I would encourage your listeners to give to these types of organizations. And then lastly, elevate these issues in your communities. And then with your congressional leaders, we can pick up the phone and call your representative or your senators and ask them to make religious liberty globally an issue that they're working on. Christians are being persecuted around the world, and there's many different faiths that are being persecuted around the world. So ask your leaders in government to get to work and to make a difference in this. And I will encourage your listeners. There are lots of members of Congress that are doing great work, mm-hmm, but the need is greater, and we need more people engaged in many different facets and levels on these issues.
Yeah, I agree with that. And Chelsea, I also put out a personal plea. My husband and I and John and his wife, we support little girls through Compassion International. Mm-hmm. And there are so many ways that you can support kids. But when you look at the life of a little girl in one of the places that that we love, you think, if I could give that kid a hand up, if I could allow that child to be welcomed into a school, to be welcomed into a church, to have the money she needs to buy. I just got a letter from my Compassion, one of our Compassion girls yesterday, and she was talking about how thankful she was because she was able to go out and get new school clothes.
Nice.
I mean, listen, you read something like that and you think, it's not much. It really is not much. But you do make a difference with those little gifts of like $35 a month. It can really
change a person's life.
It can change a person's life. So, you know, if you're thinking about it, don't think too long. Just say yes and do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, Chelsea, thanks an awful lot. We appreciate what you heard with Open Doors and then to echo that here on our show today.
Thank you so much.
Chelsea Sobolek, she joins us from the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission.
When it comes to higher education, it's worth considering a Christian university or college, one that reaffirms students' faith instead of tearing it down. Research shows that students who attend a Christian college can become significantly more committed to their faith, and that's an important investment to make. You care about the type of people who are teaching the classes and the content and perspective of the courses just as much as you do about the strength of the academics. It matters that Christian faith is supported and shared. Find out about many schools at once by attending the free Christian College Fair with representatives of colleges and universities from across North America. Start planning now. Take advantage of the opportunity to meet with representatives from top Christian colleges throughout the country. Learn about financial aid, scholarship opportunities, and more. Take your first step to a Christian college education at Orchard Hill Church in Wexford, Saturday, September 14th from 11 to 1. That's the Pittsburgh Christian College Fair, Saturday, September 14th at Orchard Hill Church in Wexford from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
Exxon and Mobil present How to Be Supremium. First, fill your tank with Exxon and Mobil's Supremium fuel, new Synergy Supreme Plus. It keeps your engine 2 times cleaner for better gas mileage. Then get the rest of your car 2 times cleaner. My horn is so clean it squeaks. Sorry about that. So clean your engine with new Exxon and Mobil Synergy Supreme Plus. It's supreme. It's premium. It's Supremium. Fill up today or go to Exxon.com for details.
Synergy Supreme Plus gas compared to Synergy regular gas and poor fuel injected engines. Benefits based on continuous use and may vary.
The Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber proudly presents the next Innovation Pittsburgh, Thursday evening, September 12th, 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the DoubleTree by Hilton and Mars. Join Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald, along with the area's leading public transit experts, on improving the future of public transportation throughout the North Hills. Come for open networking and hors d'oeuvres at 5, followed by presentations and panel discussion. Tickets and details at pghnorthchamber.com. Put your creativity and your marketing degree to work as a digital marketing strategist with Salem Surround. Unlike a small marketing agency, Salem Surround places a massive amount of tools and support at your disposal so you can be really creative and super competitive as you help Pittsburgh businesses grow. And with our national team at your back, there's no limit to how far you can go. Full and part-time available. Apply now at salemmedia.com/careers. Salem Surround, a division of Salem Media Group, is an equal opportunity employer.
Okay, it's fall. You know, remember when you were a kid?
All the TV shows were going to start.
Right.
I mean, it was a big deal.
Oh,
you'd get
my
to
gosh.
The third week in September and you'd think, okay.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Sunday night, it was
right.
Like, you know, the premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And then with that, they also unveiled the new cars. Remember that?
Oh, right.
Chevrolet and Ford.
I mean, September was a good month, right? I mean, you had to tolerate going back to school, but really, those other two things could outweigh the drama.
New TV shows, and hey, let's look at the new models, right?
Exactly.
There's an Impala. Holy smokes,
look at that Dodge Dart. That looks terrific. No one ever said that about a Dodge Dart. No, no one ever looked at that and said,
my dad did.
Terrific.
My dad.
Did he really?
We had a Dodge Dart. I think he might have said that.
Okay.
It was brown.
It was a fast car.
No, it really wasn't.
It had a big engine.
It was stolen.
Okay. Yes.
Someone thought it was a good car.
All right.
Yeah.
What are you watching? But your dad didn't steal it.
No, he did not. No.
All right. Okay, so what am I watching?
Yeah, what's on the tube?
Well, I'll be honest with you. The only network show that I watch that I'm excited for, like the premiere, is I watch Blue Bloods.
Wait, no, I thought that was canceled. I thought that was off the air.
It's not off the air.
Oh, that's the Tom Selleck thing,
yes,
right?
Yes,
I thought that was done.
I've watched every episode of Blue Bloods.
I have over no
nine,
desire
was it nine
for
seasons
that.
Or eight seasons?
What, really?
Oh, yeah.
No I've desire watched. For that.
Oh, it's a good one.
That looks cheesy to
it's
me.
It's not. It really isn't.
No, seriously. It looks
I know. I understand.
Super cheesy.
I understand. Oh, yeah. See, I get so happy when I hear that.
Really? Are you streaming this?
No, I streamed it. But now that I've caught up.
You have to wait.
I have to wait.
It's on when?
It's on, I think it's on Friday nights. I have a DVR, so it just records whenever it comes on.
I mean, I don't watch any real-time network
television. Yeah, that's the only one I watch.
Really?
But it's a good one.
Blue Bloods.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Selleck.
Oh, I love it.
Huh, interesting.
Bridget Moynihan.
Huh.
So good.
I don't know who she is.
What's her name? Wahlberger? Danny Wahlberg?
Oh, Danny Wahlberg.
Danny Wahlberg.
The Wahlbergs.
Mm-hmm.
New Kid on the Block.
Exactly.
Right. I'm watching one. Well,
or
actually,
not Danny.
Two.
Donnie.
Yeah,
very
Donnie.
Yeah, Danny's his character on the show.
Was one of the guys, was he the Calvin Klein model?
One of the Wahlbergs?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think one of those guys were.
Okay.
I'm watching, last night we wanted to watch something, and I remembered I watched two episodes of this show about recording and the voice. And I said to you, hey, listen, that is a great show.
Isn't it?
Soundbreaking, right?
Oh, it's the last project of the man who was the manager of the Beatles.
George Martin.
Right.
No, not the manager. He was the engineer.
The engineer. You're right.
He was the fifth Beatle, essentially.
He was the person who did the recordings.
Yeah. Right. I mean, fabulous production. Him and his son produced this series.
And so they've gone back and they've looked at the decades of evolution in sound recording, and they take you through it and they focus on a different element of sound recording. I'm telling you, it is so gripping.
It sure is. We watched an episode last night, like early on, like episode 3, where they talked about the rise of the microphone.
Isn't that a great one?
Oh, my goodness.
Is that the one where they show Frank Sinatra at Capitol Records?
Right. And they, you know, they start out with these gigantic, you know, the old-fashioned, I don't even know what the name was, of the RCA Victor Dog.
Mm,
like,
okay.
With his ear to.
Right.
And that was, you know, how they used to record, pre-electronic. And then they invented the microphone, which changed everything. And then they focused a lot on Bing Crosby. Because Bing Crosby was probably sort of the first, you know, modern microphone electronic star, right? He, you know, would stand in front of a crowd and croon.
Right.
Now, you couldn't croon before because
no one could hear you.
No amplification. So then they talk about the transition to Sinatra and how Sinatra really
owned the
microphone.
He was the first person who, like, learned how to work it.
Right. That passion, the emotion that he brought to that. And then they fast forward and talked about any number of people.
Stevie Wonder, Adele.
Aretha Franklin.
How about
Ray Charles?
How about the Christina Aguilera part?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. If you are in any way, shape, or form a music fan, you will geek out
watching
this.
No, you got to buy it.
Yeah.
It's like $3 an episode or $17 for the whole thing.
Or you can choose to.
Subscribe
to Acorn TV,
okay,
which is a British thing, and so I get it for free.
I see.
I mean, I don't get it for free, but
Believe me,
for a month. It's so worth
it. It's worth $3.
Oh, my gosh. Isn't
sound
it great?
Breaking.
Isn't
is
it great?
The name of it. Yeah.
How about the large soundstage at Capitol Records?
Shoo.
When you think of how recording was then with a full orchestra and Frank Sinatra standing at the center with his hat on and the
whenever they're shown Amy Winehouse.
Oh, my gosh. In
a room about 6 by 6.
Closet.
Right.
She's there with Mark Ronson. They're about 18 inches from each other because there's no more room in the studio.
You know what? I know nothing about Amy Winehouse, but when I saw her on that, I thought,
isn't she amazing?
What an incredible talent. What a talent. Look,
I know.
Doesn't that crush you? You see people with this incredible talent and they flush it all away. That was amazing.
It was amazing.
It's really, it's an amazing series. It truly is.
So soundbreaking.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm watching Bosch, which I absolutely love. I've got like this thing.
Isn't it so good?
Oh, it's a great. And I don't watch like a lot of cop shows.
Right.
This is a wonderful cop show. It really is. The storyline, the character, the emotion, all that thing together. Plus, it's in L.A. He's, you know, a dad who's divorced from his wife, but he's got his daughter there with him. It's a really well-done show.
He's got so much emotional baggage things he suffered as a kid, but he has this passion for justice.
Yeah, based upon his mother.
Based upon his mother being killed when he was a kid. And he just, this love of justice is what just infuses the whole show.
Yeah.
And it's not labeled God.
Mm-mm.
It's not labeled morality. It's not labeled ethics. It's not labeled anything. It just is.
Right.
That's what I love about it. It's the foundation of what's happening.
It sure is. I mean, he is right on point, really. It's really fabulous.
Yeah, Titus Welliver plays Harry Bosch.
It's almost like, you know, the old style. Sort of pulp novels,
yeah,
which is what it derives from.
It's a lot like that.
Anyway, that's what we're watching.
Yeah. I'm also watching a terrific movie. It won an Oscar for Best Foreign Film. It's called The Lives of Others.
Oh, yeah.
It's about East Germany while the wall was still up.
Mm-hmm.
And the wiretapping that the Stasi did. You want to talk about something that will make you grateful that you live in a free society, and it won't make you want to sign up for a red flag law. I'll tell you that right now.
Because you don't want to be on the list.
The Lives of Others.
Take a break, come back. Hey, 5 o'clock hour, don't want to miss it. Paul McNulty from Grove City College. He had a front row seat in prosecuting one of the 9/11 co-conspirators. That's the 5 o'clock hour of The Ride Home here on Word FM.
Sharing the word that changes the world. 101.5 WORD-FM, Pittsburgh, a service of Salem Media Group.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Top cabinet officials have reacted to President Trump's firing of National Security Advisor John Bolton.
Shortly after word of Bolton's dismissal, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said the president is entitled to the staff that he wants.
He should have people that he trusts and values and whose efforts and judgments benefit him in delivering American foreign policy.
Pompeo acknowledged that he and Bolton often disagreed, but said that's normal in foreign policy discussions. At the same briefing, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said President Trump and Bolton had a very different view of the Iraq War. Greg Clugston, The White House.
A large explosion has rocked Afghanistan's capital near the U.S. Embassy in the early hours of the anniversary of the 9/11 attack on the United States. A plume of smoke rose early Wednesday over Kabul. An embassy employee reached by phone confirmed the blast but had no details. On Wall Street, they're up by 73 points. This is SRN News.
The Ride Home with John and Kathy, driven by Calusi Chevrolet, serving the Pittsburgh area for over 100 years.
If you have an unpaid tax debt to the IRS that you can't pay, please hear this special notice. Specially approved IRS relief programs designed to aid delinquent taxpayers are now in effect that can significantly improve your financial situation. Depending on your circumstances, you may qualify to have your tax problem resolved in your favor and may even have your back taxes reduced by thousands or eliminated entirely. A relief hotline has been established by Community Tax for you to call and see if you qualify at 800-500-5588. If you owe the IRS back taxes that you can't afford to pay, don't let the IRS trick you into thinking you have no way out. Our highly accredited tax professionals will let you know what you qualify for and how much you can save. We may be able to stop all liens, garnishments, levies, and save you thousands. Call and see if you qualify for this taxpayer relief at 800-500-5588. 800-500-5588. That's 800-500-5588. Community Tax. Who's your tax guy?
Are you self-employed or own a business and have a debt of more than $10,000 to the IRS or haven't filed taxes in over 2 years? Pay close attention. With a call to Oxford Tax Partners, you will find a solution to your worries. 888-512-5281. The consultation is free. 888-512-5281.
I thought a payment plan was the only option with the IRS until Oxford Tax Partners settled my tax debt completely.
Call 888-512-5281. If the federal or state authorities have taken aggressive action against you or your business, Oxford's team of tax attorneys will help you settle your debt every step of the way. Oxford Tax Partners has helped clients in all 50 states, including many in your area. Call today, and in addition to your free consultation, save $600 in services. 888-512-5281. With Oxford Tax Partners, say goodbye to tax worries and hello to greater financial freedom. 888-512-5281. 888-512-5281.
Looking
for a satisfying career helping people with disabilities? Consider LifeSteps, who's served Western Pennsylvania since 1923 and offers 100% paid health, dental, and vision premiums for full-time employees. All shifts available. Make a difference and call LifeSteps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net. That's lifesteps.net to check out available positions. LifeSteps is an equal opportunity employer.
With a new college semester right around the corner, your student might need a new mattress for their apartment or dorm. At the Original Mattress Factory, we hand-build twin extra-long mattresses and box springs that are commonly used in college dorms. In fact, we offer twin extra-long mattresses in a variety of models to match every budget and comfort preference. And we can deliver to anywhere in the U.S., including colleges and universities. Visit originalmattress.com or an Original Mattress Factory store near you to learn more.
Tonight, mostly clear, warm, and humid, a low of 67. For tomorrow, very warm and humid. Sun and clouds and a shower or thunderstorm will be around in the afternoon and again at night. A high tomorrow afternoon of 88 and a low tomorrow night of 69. For Thursday, clouds, occasional sun, and humid with a shower or thunderstorm, a high of 81. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jake Soja.
Welcome to another edition of The Ride Home with John and Kathy, live from the Salem-Pittsburgh studios. And now here are your hosts, John Hall and Kathy Emmons.
It's a hot one out there, isn't it?
Oh.
Holy smokes.
Well, talk about Indian summer.
I like it. Is it really Indian summer? Would you call it that?
Yes.
Why? It's still summer. I think Indian summer is like, you know, in October.
Is it?
Yeah. Indian summer is sort of the addendum to summer. It's still summer.
All right, then I take
just
it back.
Summer.
I take it back. It's just summer, and you should get out and enjoy it.
Ah, it's beautiful.
I spent a whole, 2 hours outside today just because.
Yeah. Wish I was at the beach.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Heck yeah, it would be.
You know what's awesome about being at the beach in September?
Everything.
Exactly.
Everything.
That's the right answer.
Everything.
That is the right answer.
Yeah, there's nobody there. You're just kind of hanging out.
Right. So we're observing a World Suicide Prevention Day today, and that's trending on Twitter, as it should be. For anyone who has a person in their life who should still be here and isn't because of suicide, it's the most helpless, it's hard to even know how to mourn something like that. John, I know it's affected your family.
It has.
A very close friend of my daughter's in the last 3 months, and it's just hard. I don't know. It's hard to get your head around. It's hard to know how to support family. What do you say, John? What have you learned over the last couple of years?
It's the most heartbreaking event of my life, that in our family, someone we loved, and she killed herself. And she was young and had her whole future ahead. And in a moment of despair, she ended her life. And I think about her every day, and I pray for her family, and I just wonder, what could I have done? Mm. What could I have said to make a difference? How could I have been present for her? What kind of help did she need? Who did she need to speak to? Where was God in her life? All these different things I think about every day. And for the child she left behind, it's such a brutal, hard way to live and to exit this world. And to think about the epidemic that we're living in, because it is a suicide epidemic, that there are many people who feel lost and alone and marginalized and hopeless. Mm-hmm. They have no God in their life at all. They feel isolated and put down or less than, or they're caught up in addiction of some sort or another. It's a horrible, horrible thing. And I don't know what the answer is. There's multiple answers, I'm sure, as there are multiple questions to the problem. But I do know that the community of the church and the believers who are in Christ could be on the front line, which would change this epidemic forever here in the United States. The hopelessness more than anything.
I think it's a good day for those of us who are Christians to repent of how the church historically has dealt with the issue of suicide. The church has been fallacious and cruel in their theological presentation to families.
Well, I'm glad you said
over
that.
Over centuries,
I grew up, you know, as a boy in the Catholic Church, and of course, suicide was considered. You know, they would tell you, you will not be with your Lord in heaven. You'll be in hell.
There's absolutely no scriptural justification for that.
I know that now. But, you know, that would scare
the
heck out of me.
Think of how many family members have suffered the shame of that and the despair of that.
Right.
And how it you know, it reminds me of the book of Job. After Job has suffered and the friends come and talk to him and they say things that sound very reasonable. But at the end, God says to those three, what you said of me was not true. And that's what we did as the church. What we said of God was not true.
Right. So today, this day, World Suicide Prevention Day, I think for me, the thing is you stay in touch on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. If you know someone who's vulnerable, who's on the fringes, and even not, I mean, people, you know, don't they surprise you with their suicide?
Of course. Of course.
You think, you look at people and you kind of think, they're doing okay. Mm-hmm. Right? And then you hear the story of a tragedy like that. I don't know how you cut through the clutter of that, but certainly community and intimacy within that community is key.
And listen, if you're struggling right now thinking that you don't matter, that no one will care if you're gone, that you'd be happier and everybody else would be too, it's a lie.
It is a lie.
It is not.
And this too shall pass.
It is not true. It will pass. Reach out to somebody. Reach out to someone you know. Reach out to John or I or New Mike. Reach out to somebody and let us assure you of your particularly beautiful and unique place in this world.
Amen, because you are loved. Christ loves you, wants to know you more, deeper. Connect. We'll take a break. When we come back, we are greatly looking forward to our next guest during this 5 o'clock hour. From Grove City College, Paul McNulty will join us. Before he became president of Grove City, Paul spent many years, decades in Washington, D.C., and he has a very deep story to talk about 9/11 and one of the people convicted in the crimes of 9/11. We observe that, the anniversary tomorrow. Paul McNulty is next. Stay with us.
If you're an employer, a business owner, if you have 5 to 100 employees, listen up. The cost of doing business continues to skyrocket, strangling your HR department with all the regulations, administrative duties, and more liability than ever. And your health plan? It's a big part of that cost. Another year, another 10% rate hike, another $1,000 increase in your deductible, and another hospital or another doctor you can't go to because they're not in network. Listen, isn't it time for a change? Stop the insanity. Call Marley Financial, the most innovative agency in the industry. Put an end to the annual increase. Give your employees a national network that all hospitals accept and reduce your monthly premiums 20 to 30%. It doesn't matter when your renewal is, Marley can help you today. Call 724-884-1496 or go to marleyfg.com.
101.5 WORD.
Next time on PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
Angels are working behind the scenes in the drama of life. We see them as worshipers. We see them as warriors. We see them as birth attendants, as rescuers, executors, explorers, comforters, and communicators.
Tune in next time for PowerPoint with Jack Graham.
PowerPoint tonight at 9:30 on 101.5 WORD.
How does Eden Christian Academy prepare students for success? Through education that ignites the mind and inspires the spirit, from pre-K through 12th grade, through 47 state-certified full-time teachers, and opportunities in sports, the arts, and service to the community. With results like SAT scores 200 points over the national average, schedule a tour at any of Eden's 3 North Hills campuses and see what the area's largest non-denominational Christian school has to offer at EdenChristianAcademy.org.
The Pittsburgh North Regional Chamber proudly presents the next Innovation Pittsburgh, Thursday evening, September 12th, 5 to 7:30 p.m. at the DoubleTree by Hilton and Mars. Join Allegheny County Executive Rich Fitzgerald, along with the area's leading public transit experts, on improving the future of public transportation throughout the North Hills. Come for open networking and hors d'oeuvres at 5, followed by presentations and panel discussion. Tickets and details at pghnorthchamber.com.
Victims of drunk and drug driving, our grief is unique, but you are not alone. Matt is here to help.
Call our 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit mad.org. That's mad.org.
Dentistry, in my opinion, shouldn't be a fear-inducing experience. And it really, I think, goes a long way for patients when I'm able to develop that one-on-one relationship with them.
Exceptional dentistry meets compassionate care at StockFamilyDentistry.com.
Tomorrow's the anniversary of 9/11, and so, of course, the first question that comes up when we're talking amongst it one to the other is, so where were you?
Everyone's got a story.
Well, the answer of our next guest is particularly interesting. Paul J. McNulty is the ninth president of Grove City College. Prior to returning to his alma mater, McNulty spent over 30 years in Washington, D.C. as an attorney in public service and private practice. In 2005, the U.S. Senate unanimously confirmed Paul McNulty to the position of Deputy Attorney General, the second in command at the U.S. Department of Justice, and the Chief Operating Officer of the department's 100,000 employees. Paul, welcome back.
Hi, Kathy. Good to be back with you.
Always good to have you, Paul.
Paul, I guess it begs the question, where were you on the morning of September 11, 2001?
Well, yes, I was definitely in a unique position. I was in the command center at the Department of Justice that morning. I arrived in the office of the Department of Justice at just about the time that the first plane, which was 8:46, the American Flight 11, went into the North Tower at the World Trade Center. And I worked at that point as the principal associate deputy attorney general, which means I was sort of running the deputy attorney general's office and waiting for confirmation by the Senate. I'd been nominated by the president to be the chief prosecutor in Virginia. And so I was working in Main Justice. That's what we say headquarters is. And we got this information and completely... You know, we had to evacuate the building. We had to completely empty the building because we didn't know where how many planes were still in the air and what the targets were. And so the first thing that Deputy Attorney General Larry Thompson and I had to do was think about the safety of our employees. John Ashcroft was the Attorney General at the time, and he was in Milwaukee doing what President Bush and the other cabinet officers were doing, which was visiting schools. It was an education-themed day, and John Ashcroft had to be escorted by fighter jets back to D.C. in order to join us in the command center and take control of the Department of Justice activities that day.
So, Paul, I was reading a book was just released the other day that essentially was a timeline of the morning of 9/11 and throughout that day with the key players, which included Condoleezza Rice and Dick Cheney, President Bush, of course. And Dick Cheney recounts that he was in his office at the White House, and an FBI agent came in to tell him the news about what was happening. And at one point, the FBI agent said to Dick Cheney, "We've discovered that a plane is headed towards Washington, D.C. at 500 miles an hour, and it's 5 minutes away. You must come with me now." And from then, Dick Cheney said he was literally picked up by his elbows and escorted down to a Cold War station that had never been used before. But the idea that, you know, there was a plane coming 500 miles an hour and less than 5 minutes away, I'm sure everybody in D.C. was under high alert thinking more planes are coming after the Pentagon was hit.
Right. That's very interesting. I don't know the time that was Flight 77. So it's possible that what he's describing was the plane that hit the Pentagon and not Flight 93, which was still unaccounted for. When I was in the command center after 9:30, and you got to picture the command center. It's sort of like a James Bond movie, you know. This is a room at the top of the Department of Justice, which is an interesting fact because it's at the sort of rooftop level, and it's just big TV screens up on the wall and computer stations all around. And I was actually the senior official running the command center at that moment because the Deputy Attorney General, Larry Thompson, was taken to a remote location. And so my job was just to coordinate what was happening there at that DOJ center. And we, at that point, knew that the Pentagon had been hit, but we didn't know where Flight 93 was. And I remember very clearly thinking, well, that plane could be headed to D.C. It could be headed to the Department of Justice, since we had been prosecuting terrorists in the past, and maybe we were on some kind of target list to hit. And if that plane hit the Department of Justice, I'm sitting in a room at the very top floor. But I also remember, John and Kathy, the peace I felt at that moment just because of my own faith, that if that indeed is the story, you know, I'm ready to face that circumstance. And I remember just that brief moment of reflection before back into the action of things that was occurring.
Oh, that's fabulous.
So those moments, you know, those hours when you are you're the manager of what's going on, you're also a person at the same time, you know, I want to ask you about your state of mind. You know, we, John and I, were just seeing the Apollo 11 movie last week, and they were talking about assessing Neil Armstrong as the commander of that mission. And they said one of the things that was so attractive to them about Neil Armstrong was that as things got more frenetic, his mind seemed to slow down. And so I wonder about those moments of crisis and how we respond. How did you feel on that day? How did you perform knowing what was at stake?
You know, I can identify with that. I think that knowing that God is in control of everything, not being distracted by fear, mm-hmm. not being distracted by just personal sense of dread or something of that sort, but having a feeling of, if I am going to be called home at this moment, I'm okay with that. Not only am I okay with that, I'm actually very happy about that concept. But it allows me to focus in on what I was doing, and I think it really does embolden or create a sense of courage. Not that we don't feel fear, we're, you know, all of us do in one way or another. Fear is actually a good thing; it helps us make good decisions. But
right, run when we have to.
Right, exactly. But at the same time, peace is a really important additional component to that. And so, yes, I can identify with that. I felt a sense of presence and focus and capability to mm-hmm. think about what was going on around me. And I've been in these situations in a few other instances, and not quite of that nature, of course, but other moments where there's some notable threat. And I've been encouraged by that, the meaningfulness
yes.
of knowing who I am in that situation and who's in charge of everything going on.
Paul, I think for 9/11, of course, everyone has their own very distinct memories. But, of course, everyone has the memory of whenever they first realized what was happening. And then I think for a lot of people, you're watching television and you're watching the first tower fall, mm-hmm. which was visually the most shocking image I think most of us will ever see in our lives. And thinking about the people in that building as that fell, I mean, you can't – the emotion was so intense that day. And to know that despite all that horror that God is with us, the day was just unbelievable. And so I'm really glad as you join us to talk about you in a professional capacity in Washington, D.C. with the Department of Justice, but also as a citizen and, most importantly, as a believer in Christ. All those things together working in your mind and knowing that, you know, your family was close by, you were surrounded by other people of faith. It's just a hallmark day that will stay with us all forever.
I really can appreciate what you're saying about watching the tower come down. I saw that on a very large screen against, you know, big wall in the command center. And I'm sitting with all of these colleagues from different agencies who are in different computer stations, and we're passing information back and forth. And together, we're watching this happen. And you're absolutely right. There are these moments where reality so goes beyond imagination, and you're trying to come to terms with that. And I remember thinking that what I thought was normal just 2 hours ago has just radically changed. There is now a new normal. And when you're in law enforcement, as I was, that has so many implications. You know, here I am at the Department of Justice, and I'm working with the Attorney General, the Deputy Attorney General. I'll eventually become the Deputy Attorney General, with the FBI Director Mueller. we're working on protecting America. And so when we're watching that, we're just thinking about our mission has just changed so fundamentally.
Yes.
How are we
instantly
possibly going to be able to adjust to it? And I think that was the most prevailing thought in my mind. Of course, you also think about your families. And at that point, when you're downtown and you don't know exactly what's going on, you remember that morning, we didn't know if there were going to be many more attacks that
right.
day, how this was going to unfold. So also, you have this human side that has to do with family. And that's so significant, you know, in our emotional state. And I was thinking about, where were my kids right now? Where is my wife?
Yeah.
What are they doing? And I don't have the time to even talk to any of them because I have to focus on what I'm doing right now.
Right. And at the same time, they're thinking of you, knowing that you're at work doing what
yes.
you're meant to do.
Yeah. By 1 o'clock that morning, we moved to the FBI. So across the street from the Department of Justice is the Hoover Building. And in that building, there is a Strategic Information Operations Center called SIOC. And Bob Mueller was there. And I was over across the street. Eventually, the Attorney General arrives around noon. And then Deputy Attorney General Thompson comes back. And we decide we need to be over at SIOC at the FBI headquarters with Mueller. So we go over there. And, of course, that's really a high-tech center. And there's a small conference room in there. And that's where Mueller and Ashcroft and a few of us sat around for the next, you know, several days. In fact, that's where I met. That room was where I met with Bob Mueller as Deputy Attorney General a few years, 5 years later. I met with him every morning for a couple of years. We were over there then during the afternoon trying to assess our crime scenes and how we were going to collect evidence and what else was at risk. And finally, about 1 o'clock, we were ready to call it quits for the night. And I got in my car and I drove back across the 14th Street Bridge and headed towards Fairfax. And right there, the Pentagon is immediately to my right. And I just pulled off the road for a moment, and the Pentagon was still in flames. And I just let it out in tears because it had been cooped up all day. And I could see the Pentagon burning.
Paul J. McNulty is our guest, ninth president of Grove City College and former deputy attorney general of the United States. We're talking about the 18th anniversary of 9/11, which is tomorrow. When we come back, we'll talk about some more of the particulars. You know, there were no cell phones.
It was a different
communication
different
was totally different. President in Florida, Paul McNulty in Washington, D.C. We'll talk about that coming up on today's Ride Home.
Our total basement finishing system is unique, but what's even more unique is the way we interact with our clients.
Energy Swing's Steve Rennekamp on building the basement of your dreams.
You have a dream to finish your basement. The question is, whose dream is it? A lot of other companies start working on your basement and build it the way they want to build it, and so it ends up not being exactly what you wanted. We don't work that way. With our 3D rendering system, you can actually see what your dream looks like before you decide to invest. Our design consultant comes out and actually builds the basement with you on his computer, and you can see a 3D rendering of that finished basement. And if you don't like something, we can change it around. We can even place furniture in the 3D rendering so you can see if all the things you want to do in the basement will fit the way you would like them to fit, which gives you a unique perspective on what the finished job is going to look like before anything is done.
Mention Word FM for an additional 5% off over and above any other discount at EnergySwingWindows.com.
In the fury of the storm, they cried out to God to save them.
My poor little wife got hypothermia, and then I kept with her, and she just drowned on me.
Now, the storm has passed, and they need God and his people to help them make it through another day.
It's bad. It's really bad. We need help.
Families in the Bahamas devastated by Monster Storm Dorian need Word FM listeners to step into their lives with life-saving emergency relief.
People saying, I've lost everything. And the only thing, you could say, keep praying.
Your generous gift will provide desperately needed supplies to families who have lost everything. You'll provide food, water filters, generators, clean water, chainsaws, tarps, hygiene kits, and other things needed for survival and recovery. Please send help and hope to the Bahamas now. From your cell phone, call pound 250 and say hope. Dial pound 250 on your cell and say hope. Or give online at wordfm.com.
Hi,
It's an amazing song.
Maybe you've seen the movie.
It's kind of happening.
Now see them live in concert. The Imagination Tour, featuring Mercy Me.
I can only imagine.
With special guest Crowder.
Thank you, God.
Word FM welcomes Mercy Me. Coming to PPG Paints Arena, October 4th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
At Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, find extreme accessories for all your dirty jobs, like hauling landscape supplies. Protect your vehicle with spray-on bed liners, tonneau covers, WeatherTech floor liners, and more. Say goodbye to dirt and grime inside and out with extreme detailing. Plus, lift kits, electronics, and remote starters, always a favorite. Extreme Car and Truck in Bridgeville, for the extreme in all of us. At extremetruck.net.
Tonight, mostly clear, warm, and humid, a low of 67. For tomorrow, very warm and humid. Sun and clouds and a shower or thunderstorm will be around in the afternoon and again at night. A high tomorrow afternoon of 88 and a low tomorrow night of 69. For Thursday, clouds, occasional sun, and humid with a shower or thunderstorm, a high of 81. With your AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jake Soja.
From Grove City College, Paul McNulty is with us. He was in Washington, D.C. on September 11, 2001, as part of the Justice Department, talking about what happened that day. And then, of course, we're going to talk a little later on in our conversation about a famous trial with one of the co-conspirators.
Paul, I want to talk about communications on that day, because now that we all have cell phones, smartphones in our purses, in our pocket, in our hand all the time, it's hard to remember that 18 years ago, communication was totally different, even amongst the highest echelons of the U.S. government. Talk about how you were figuring out what was happening and how you all were dealing with the fact that the president was in the air.
Well, the Department of Justice had the advantage of some reliable communications, at least relative reliable, compared to the disruptions that were occurring because of either on the ground where agents and other first responders were being deployed and therefore having real limited ability to communicate. Also, cell tower insufficiency and so forth. But we had some more secured communications at the Department's Command Center, and the White House had even stronger communications. It's interesting that after the 9/11 attack, a great deal of money was spent in Washington and in the federal government generally to upgrade communications. And I remember when I became the U.S. attorney 3 days later, I was confirmed, and so I went out to Northern Virginia, Alexandria, to take up my new job as the U.S. attorney in Eastern Virginia. They started putting this new technology, this new communication equipment in place. And at one point, I looked at my desk by about November, and I thought I was some kind of, like, you know, Batman with all these different phones on my desk. We really ramped up communications at that point. But the Attorney General, for example, wanted the capacity to be able to communicate with all the federal prosecutors at one time, and that capacity didn't exist. So it was more than a limitation on just mobile devices. It was really about the insufficiency of networks and other devices that could utilize satellite communications, even if cell towers were knocked out.
I see.
And what about the president being in the air, Paul? How did you all deal with that? Or was that something that, you know, that the White House staff was handling?
Yeah, the White House dealt with that. I didn't have any, that didn't have any impact on us. To the extent we needed to be in contact with Pentagon or White House, we were dealing with other staff officials. And the president, of course, was getting back from Tampa as quickly as possible. And I suspect that, you know, pretty confident that Air Force One communications were also of a quality that would be, you know, better than what my experience on the ground in D.C. So I don't know much more about that interaction than that.
from Grove City College. Paul McNulty is with us. So, Paul, one of the ironies and one of the many stories of the day is that prior to September 11th, 2001, about a month before, August 16th, 2001, a man by the name of Zacharias Moussaoui was arrested in Minnesota by the FBI and charged with an immigration violation because he aroused suspicion while taking flight training courses in a small town in Minnesota. Now, this is where you, after the fact, had a major impact on prosecution of a terrorist. Let's start to talk about this. How did this come your way? Because clearly the Justice Department wasn't involved on August 16th, 2001. But after the attacks, this came to light and it found its way quickly to the Justice Department.
Right. Yes. So there was an FBI agent who actually interviewed Zacharias Moussaoui after he was arrested. He was held because he was at that time no longer here lawfully. His visa had expired, and so the then INS doesn't exist in that form anymore, worked with the FBI, and they detained him. He was interviewed by the agent. He lied to the agent regarding what he was up to. That was reported back to FBI headquarters and CIA, and unfortunately, because of some limitations on the way that intelligence was shared at that time, it wasn't followed up on. And I don't recall exactly in the days after the attack when I first learned that this individual was being held in Minnesota. But, you know, we were getting a lot of reports there at the FBI Information Center about different individuals and links to the attack. And so it's probably somewhere in those early days that, you know, I learned along with perhaps with the Attorney General and others that, you know, this fellow Moussaoui was in Minnesota. Then I went to Alexandria, where the primary office is for the Eastern District of Virginia, so real close to Washington, just across the river. And this is the office that had been very experienced in prosecuting spies over the years, Robert Hansen and Alder James and so forth. And so it was known for an office that handled especially complicated national security cases. And I became the U.S. attorney there. The Pentagon, of course, was in that district, so I was confirmed quickly because Senator Leahy, the Democrat senator from Vermont, who was chairing the Judiciary Committee, in one of these bipartisan moments that we could be thankful for in times of crisis, called General Ashcroft and said, "What can I do to help?" Mm-hmm. And Ashcroft said, "Well, one thing you could do is confirm the U.S. attorney for, confirm McNulty. He's been nominated, and he needs to be in place." And so 3 days later, the Senate put that through by unanimous consent, and I was able to report to my new job. And I found out shortly after that that Moussaoui was going to be transferred from Minnesota to Alexandria, Virginia, and that we would then be responsible for prosecuting him for being a part of the conspiracy for the 9/11 attacks.
Now, am I correct in thinking, or just imagining that if Moussaoui hadn't lied to federal agents, and when he was arrested in August, if he would have cooperated, perhaps the 9/11 attacks wouldn't have happened?
Well, Kelly, that's very insightful. That was our whole theory of our case. So we basically charged him with conspiring to be a part of the entire attack because he was being funded in the same way as the others, and he was being coordinated by Khalid Sheikh Mohammed as the others were, and so forth. And had he told the FBI what he was doing and not lying, then we would have been on higher alert as to what was happening at airports and looking for individuals that, you know, were similar to what his pattern had been and so forth. And so we presented to the jury. We didn't get to the jury until 4.5 years later or so, but finally when we got to the jury after up and down on appeals and a lot of legal proceedings, that very case. And we were dealing with the death penalty at that point because we were seeking capital punishment, and he was prepared to plead guilty to the conspiracy. In fact, he was very forthcoming about that eventually, but he was not willing, of course, to cooperate with regard to the penalty. And so we had to convince a jury that he should be held accountable for what happened, because had he told the truth, we may have been able to prevent the deaths that occurred.
Right. So, Paul, I mean, you can make a lot of cases here for this, but the idea that America, how they shared information, whether it was, you know, with the criminal departments, FBI, CIA, local police and all that, and with the Justice Department, 9/11 in some ways, for the good, coalesced things and changed that everything. Sharing of information. The tragedy that happened on September 11, 2001, it would certainly not have happened today as it would have then. You understand what I'm saying?
You mean because of the coordination of agencies?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. The 9/11 Commission looked at that closely. Rules have been changed. Patriot Act was passed. And it's God's goodness that we haven't had an attack since then. But it's not because the people haven't done a lot to make the country safer. And so much has been changed to prevent that from occurring. Right. One interesting thing is I was responsible for the transition from the Justice Department, Clinton administration, to the Bush administration, which means that from the late 2000, December 2000, January 2001, I oversaw a team that kind of audited DOJ to figure out what was hot and what was going on so that on the day of inauguration, we could be ready to run the Department of Justice. And in that capacity, I interviewed Louis Freeh, who was then the head of the FBI, and Bob Mueller had not become. And I remember, as long as I live, that I remember what that day was like in January of 2001, sitting down with Louis Freeh in his office and basically asking him, Louis, what do we need to worry about? What do we need to be paying attention to? And him saying, terrorism. The number one concern I have as the FBI director is that we are going to be hit. And we had been hit at embassies overseas, and there was an effort to hit even the World Trade Center back in the 90s. And Freeh was monitoring all this with the FBI, and he was convinced that something was going to happen. So we were alerted generally that this was out there as a possibility. But that kind of attack isn't something we had seen before.
Paul, talk about Massawi. Obviously, you had a lot of interpersonal contact with him. When he was confronted, you said he was going to plead guilty before he realized that that you were going to be seeking the death penalty. In the trial, in the courtroom, I'm sure there were many defendants that came up and talked about 9/11 and the attack and the effect on family and friend and work and everything. Did he show remorse of any kind?
Not the least bit. In fact, he basically mocked the, not in a highly disruptive way in court, because Judge Brinkema was in command of the courtroom. She did a fantastic job of overseeing the proceedings. But in every way he could, he mocked and put down the witnesses who were family members and sharing their story about the impact that it had on them. A loss had on them. He made faces and did everything he could to demonstrate his lack of remorse. In fact, he affirmatively said if he could actually kill more people, if more harm could have been done, he would have wished that to be the case. So what we did was we interviewed more than 1,000 different family members over the course of the time we had to prepare, and collected all of their stories. We became the focal point for the family, so that they had some place that they could go to tell the story of their loss, which is what the criminal justice system can do. And we collected all this information, boxes and boxes of interview notes and other mementos that they shared with us from the story of their family member. And we've selected the most... not necessarily the most gripping, but just a variety of stories that covered New York and the Pentagon and Flight 93. And then we had those witnesses testify before the jury. And we kicked it off with Rudy Giuliani as our lead witness to give a description of what it was like, you know, in the aftermath in Manhattan, and to summarize the impact on the city. And then from there, we brought in these other individuals. And he showed no remorse again during all of that. We really had to be patient and overlook that kind of disdain.
Paul, that must have been chilling to see.
Oh, it was chilling. By that point, you know, we started the case in late 2001. This was this was the spring of 2006. By that point, we had been through so much with him in terms of his belligerent attitude, his threats, his outbursts of one sort or another, his communications, and so that by that point we weren't surprised by anything that he was saying. And he actually took the stand during the preliminary phases of the death penalty phase in order to explain, in a sense, take responsibility for what happened, to sort of show a weird sense of cooperation that might potentially mitigate the penalty against him. But that's when he actually said that he was to fly a plane into the White House. We don't have a way of verifying by that, but that was his statement.
We need to step away for just a minute. We're talking with Paul McNulty. He's the president of Grove City College. But on September 11, 2001, Paul was with the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C., and we're talking about his remembrances of that day. Stay with us, please.
101.5 WORD.
Coming up on Love Worth Finding.
Would you like to understand what the book of Revelation reveals?
Do we interpret the book of the Revelation literally or symbolically? Which do you think? Well, the answer is both. Don't think that symbolism somehow discounts the truth of the book. You find out what the symbol stands for, and you literally believe it.
Listen to Adrian Rogers' series, The Triumph of the Lamb, this month on Love Worth Finding.
Tonight at 11 on 101.5 WORD.
Oh, my papa, to me you are so wonderful. Oh, my papa, to me you are so good.
Does that song bring back memories of days gone by and sage folks in our lives? Hi, this is Marcia from the Springhouse, and we love remembering the olden days. We also love honoring these dear folks in our lives at the upcoming Grandparents' Day Ham and Turkey Dinner at the Springhouse. It's the second Sunday in September, and we'll be featuring our own hickory smoked ham, roast turkey, real mashed potatoes, and all the fixins. In our family, my mom and dad are so great at making each of their 19 grandchildren feel like the favorite. Do you know some special folks like that that you'd love to honor? Bring them to the Springhouse Country Store and Dairy Farm for good old-fashioned eating. Check out springhousemarket.com for more details or give us a call at 724-228-3339. Looking forward to seeing you at the Springhouse at 84 PA.
What you want is awesome new flooring at a great price. What you don't want is to spend hours at a showroom looking for it. With At Home Flooring, you won't have to. At Home Flooring is where awesome happens. And their family's been bringing awesome straight into Pittsburgh homes with top quality hardwood, tile, carpet, and vinyl for over 50 years. With their free shop at home experience, along with great selection and professional installation. So forget the showroom and schedule a little bit of awesome instead. Visit athomeflooringpgh.com.
Looking for a satisfying career helping people with disabilities? Consider LifeSteps, who's served Western Pennsylvania since 1923 and offers 100% paid health, dental, and vision premiums for full-time employees. All shifts available. Make a difference and call LifeSteps today at 724-283-1010 or visit lifesteps.net. That's lifesteps.net to check out available positions. LifeSteps is an equal opportunity employer.
Now's the time to travel and be with the people you care about the most. And at Holiday Inn and Holiday Inn Express, we're helping you be there for less. Save at least 25% at thousands of hotels worldwide if you book by September 24th. You won't want this moment to pass you by. So book today at HolidayInn.com. Terms and conditions apply.
Paul McNulty is the 9th president of Grove City College. He was also deputy attorney general for the United States. And we're talking about his recollections of 9/11 as we remember the 18th anniversary, which is coming up tomorrow. Paul, a military judge has set a January 2021 trial date for Khalid Sheikh Mohammed and four other Guantanamo detainees accused of orchestrating this September 11th terrorist attack that we know killed about 3,000 people. And when you think that the trial is going to come up the year after next, and it's going to be 21 years by that point, It's hard to believe that the wheels of justice can grind that slowly. Now, we recognize that part of the reason why this has gone on as long as it has is there are issues of debate regarding torture that,
civil liberties.
That the CIA carried out, civil liberties, you know, debating the whole idea of Guantanamo. But based on your perspective and your experience prosecuting Massawi and seeing what happened in 9/11, how should we think about the justice system in America? I mean, it just seems like this has taken so incredibly long. From an insider perspective, how do you look at it?
Well, I looked at it in sort of two ways when it comes to those two cases and other cases that would fall into two categories. I think the traditional criminal justice system has worked pretty well when it comes to various terrorist threats or crimes or conspiracies that we've identified since 9/11, whether it's the shoe bomber Reed in Boston, or a number of other cases that were in my district when I was U.S. attorney, and even after I was U.S. attorney in that same district, cases that prosecuted in Manhattan. The criminal justice system has confronted a lot of challenging issues with classified information and how that gets shared with defendants and some legal issues that are tricky, but it has moved forward pretty effectively. Our case was complicated by the fact that we were seeking the death penalty, and that just takes the due process protections and issues up to another level. And so if our judge was ruling that certain evidence had to be given to the defendant because, again, the defendant was trying to, protect himself from the death penalty, we had to take that ruling up on appeal because it could have, bad precedential effect. Now, when it comes to Gitmo, on the other hand, this is really a separate system of justice, a military system of justice, which is facing unprecedented challenges and even questions about the full panoply of constitutional protections that even apply in a situation involving military justice with someone who's, essentially a prisoner of war. So there have been a lot of legal maneuverings and litigation about the scope of the constitutional issues and the nature of those proceedings. So, yes, that time period is amazing. Now, you had asked me back in 2004 or 5 or something, when would the KSM trial take place in the military context? I would never have guessed that it would be 2021. But that's the nature of the situation.
So is it military justice, Paul, or how does politics fit into it as well?
The politicians have had a lot to say about all these things. But at the end of the day, the Department of Defense, in this case, in terms of military justice, and the courts have proceeded forward working through legal issues. And, even the change of presidents, it's had some impact on the types of arguments that have been made in court and positions taken. But the process of trying to get KSM to trial went on through the Obama years, mm-hmm. and now continues. And so even that kind of, major change in policy at the executive branch essentially hasn't taken this case off track. It's just proceeding very slowly.
Right.
Yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I've been college president now for the past 5 years. I haven't even been able to pay attention to what the latest issues are that have slowed it down. You have to really stay focused over a long period of time.
And so there you are, Paul, at Grove City College, removed from Washington, D.C. And so, as Kath talks about the upcoming trial in 2021, and there's Massawi, the man that you prosecuted since 2006. He's been sitting in a cell in a supermax prison in Colorado. What's that like for these men? Do they have privileges? Are they part, like a Massawi, a supermax? Is he part of the population? Is he a folk hero? Is he, how's he looked at? Any idea about that?
Sure. No, not at all. He's just the opposite of that kind of thing. He's in isolation. The facility in Florence, Colorado, is one where the individuals are held in a really pretty extreme form of isolation. They are essentially 23 out of 24 hours a day in a cell that is, limited to limited in movement and some capability of access to a courtyard, but it is the most limiting confinement that exists. And there are, of course, a number of other famous defendants who are housed in that same facility. And from time to time, reporters get a chance to go in there and write up big stories about the Supermax. But, you know, his isolation is so significant that there's no hero status going on there.
Not a folk hero in prison. So, Paul, here we are.
Not at all, not that facility. Now, somebody else outside of the prison, you know, I think that he has been forgotten. And, you know, there's sort of for good and for ill on that. I mean, we want people to remember 9/11 and what happened. But the combination of passage of time and his own individual story, I think, has left him pretty much forgotten.
So, Paul, you straddled two interesting places. There you were prosecuting a terrorist, and now you have the great privilege of being with young students every day at Grove City College. It's a different life. I'm sure it's a much more hopeful life.
Well, it is more hopeful. It's interesting. The freshmen who just moved in a couple weeks ago were born in 2001. So many of these new students were born even after the attacks. Tomorrow, I just sent an email to all the students and all the faculty and employees, and I said, why don't we all meet at the flagpole right here in our quad right outside my window? Let's meet here tomorrow at 8:46 when the first plane hit the North Tower. Let's all meet at that flagpole and have a moment of silence and a brief prayer. And in part, what motivated me to do that was to think about the fact that our freshman class were just born this very same year. And I want the 20th anniversary to be a special event for us here, so I think we should lead up a little bit to it. And even though it's the 18th year, I wanted to do something. So it is interesting to think about passage of time and mission now. And my, of course, deepest hope is that in the calling I have now, that we're able to really equip these students so that they're the kind of citizens who will respond extraordinarily well when the country needs them to, because they have a clear grasp of what matters most. And that's why my wife and I decided to leave Washington and move to Western Pennsylvania again so we could take up that work.
We're fortunate to have you.
We sure are, and we thank you for your work at Grove City, but we're most grateful in particular for your work serving all of us in the United States. So, Paul, thanks for all your work on September 11th, 2001, and all the years after.
Well, thank you very much. It's always wonderful to talk to you, both of you.
Paul McNulty, he is the president of Grove City College. Information about Grove City online, gcc.edu.
When wet weather is on the way, keep it dry inside with J&D Waterproofing. Water seepage and a sinking foundation can cause major structural damage if left untreated. Joe Belanti and the team at J&D Waterproofing have the experience to correct your water problem with over 72 years in the industry. Call the Tri-State's premier waterproofing company now at 1-800-VERY-DRY for a free estimate and big savings on all waterproofing services for a limited time. J&D Waterproofing, 1-800-VERY-DRY.
Get your truly free credit scores and free credit monitoring from Credit Karma today. Download the Credit Karma app now. Credit Karma. Here's to progress.
Thanks for joining us today on The Ride Home.
Yes.
Our podcast is available in all sorts of places.
Holy smokes. Now we're doing Alexa, right?
We're doing Alexa. You can find us on Spotify. You can find us at iTunes. You name it. Always on our website, The Ride Home with John and Kathy.
Yeah, and on Facebook as well. That's very good. Listen, that's a fascinating conversation with Paul McNulty. I mean, talk about someone who's lived the life. Hey, thanks for being with us.
Oh, we got more time?
Oh, we thought we were done.
I thought
done.
We were done.
What the heck?
Oh, I was watching the screen. I thought
too,
that meant I was done. All right, good. Well, there's this day in history.
Well,
I'm
going to
tell
doing?
You, bro. No, listen, no, listen. This day in history, John, 1963. This is really good.
The Beatles.
20 black students entered public schools in Birmingham, Mobile, Tuskegee, Alabama, after JFK sent National Guardsmen to end the standoff with Alabama Governor George Wallace.
Oh.
20
oh.
black students brave enough to go into those public schools.
Yeah.
We salute them today.
Holy smokes.
And for the first time ever, I just saw this news story, in 2019, minorities are the majority of new hires in America.
Holy smokes.
I'm telling you, things aren't perfect, but they're better than they were.
Well, thanks for being with us. We mean it this time. Honest, we do. Have a great night.
Ride Home with John and Kathy, a production of Salem Media Group.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.